Today's talk is the last in a series that have been based on the book by Louise Hay, You Can Heal Your Life. And so today I'm actually talking about physical health and well-being in our bodies as well as well-being in our lives. I know that we all want to experience good health. We want our bodies to function properly. We want our organs and our joints and all of our bodily processes to work the way that they're supposed to. We want to be pain-free, and we want to move with ease. Anybody in this room want that? Yeah, absolutely. And in addition to that, I know that we all want to experience well-being in our bodies, but we want to experience well-being in our lives. We want to have well-being in our relationships and in our places of work and at home and as we move throughout our lives. Surprisingly, the same exact principles support physical health and well-being that support a life of well-being. Fertile ground, the same principles create fertile ground for that. And so, has anybody in here ever heard of the relaxation response? Now, I think most of us know about the relaxation response and the stress response. Those are both responses that our bodies have to our environment, to our external environment and what is going on around us, as well as to our internal environment, our thinking and our feeling. And so one of the great examples is to imagine that you're out in your garden in the evening and the light is low and you step on the garden hose and you think that it's a snake. And so what happens? You jump and your heart races and your palms start sweating and your mouth gets kind of dry. But really, it wasn't even a snake. It was that you thought it was a snake. So that's the stress response, our palms sweating and our mouths getting dry and our hearts racing. So it's a result of the environment and about what we think and what we feel on the inside. Well, the relaxation response is the same way. The relaxation response we can bring forward by doing things like systematic relaxation. That's when you tell yourself, I relax my feet, and I relax my calves, and I relax my thighs, and I relax my back, and you go through every part of your body like that. We can create the relaxation response by doing yoga and by doing meditating, by sitting at a lake and watching the birds flutter across the top of the lake, by sitting and watching a sunset. All of those things create that relaxation response in our bodies. And so doctors are saying that the stress response is the largest factor to the creation of disease that there is. In fact, Harvard Medical School says that 60% of doctor visits are a result of stress. So there's a quote that comes out of Harvard Medical School. Except I don't have it here, which is interesting. Who was up here singing? Jim Dawn, do you have my quotes? You don't. The Harvard Medical School talks about how that stress response is responsible for things like high blood pressure and heart disease. Look, here come my quotes. That's so good. So this guy's name is Walter Bradford Cannon out of the Harvard Medical School. He says, stress causes the fight or flight hormones, epinephrine, norepinephrine, to secrete into the bloodstream. This incites or exacerbates a number of conditions. They include hypertension, headaches, insomnia, irritable bowel syndrome, chronic low back pain, as well as heart disease, stroke, and cancer. All of those are a result of living in that stress response that we all live in so much of the time. Our bodies and our immune systems function best when we are relaxed. Our body is then able to function in homeostasis the way that it's supposed to be. And so I think it's really interesting that in the West here, we have so much trust in doctors. Because really, doctors do not, for the most part, Western doctors, address the cause of disease. Is all they do is address the symptoms, which is the effect of the disease. And so Louise Hay, in her book, You Can Heal Your Life, says incurable only means that we have to go within to find the cure. So our environment plays a role in that stress, like having overly busy schedules, like being somewhere where there is a lot of noise, like driving in traffic. Have you driven in traffic in the last week? Everyone's out Christmas shopping. It's crazy. You feel like you have to really be on the defense all the time. All of those things create that stress response, as well as things like the threat of nuclear war and things not going smoothly politically in this country. Lots of things create that stress response. So the noise and the traffic contribute to the stress response, but really our thoughts are the thing that really exacerbate that. It's thinking that the hose was a snake that caused the stress response. It's thinking about the fact that we could have nuclear war. It's thinking and worrying and fear and fretting and the what ifs and the stories we make up about how it's going to be. That's what really creates the stress response in our bodies. I remember when I was in college, and any time that we had to do a presentation, you had to get up in front of the group, I would always go second. I didn't want to go first. I didn't want to be the first person up there. But if I didn't go second, I was so nervous and anxious and my heart would be beating, I literally couldn't hear what the other presentations, what those presenters said. I couldn't hear it. So if I went second, then it was over with and I could sit and listen and relax to what everybody else had to say and enjoy that. That's about what goes on in my head, but that's that stress response. So the outer conditions contribute to stress, to dis-ease in our bodies, as well as dis-ease in our lives, but our inner environment always is creating that stress response or the relaxation response. That relaxation response creates well-being in our bodies and in our lives. I remember the first talk that I ever did. I hadn't been to ministerial school. It was long before that. I don't even think I'd been in college. And I was going to a church where it was the day of our Christmas Eve candlelighting service. And we were expecting a packed house of a couple hundred people. And I got a call in the afternoon that the minister had laryngitis and couldn't talk. And would I be willing to deliver her talk? Oh my, I'd never done this before. I was really nervous. And so that night we're there and it's beautiful and the candles are lit and the house is packed and there's beautiful music and I'm sitting in the front row waiting for my turn to get up there. And I started telling myself, I was so nervous, I can do this. I can do this. I can do this and greater things than this can I do. I can do this, repeating this mantra over and over. By the time I got up on the stage, I was not one bit nervous. I just got up in there and delivered it. Because I created that response inside of myself by what I was telling myself, the relaxation response. And so the title of my talk today is Open Enrollment Time. It's always open enrollment time because we always have the choice of what it is that we are thinking and feeling, and we can always up-level our thinking. And so I'm talking about how our thoughts and our feelings and our attitudes impact our health and impact our well-being or create dis-ease in our lives. And so one of the principles that we teach here at Centers for Spiritual Living is that bodies are thought in form. That's how much our thought, really, it's thought and feeling are body in form. And so Louise Hay talks about this in her book, and she gives such a great example that it's so easy to see. She says, every cell within your body responds to every single thought you think and every word you speak. Continuous modes of thinking and speaking produce body behaviors and postures, or eases and diseases. The person who has a permanently scowling face did not produce that by having joyous, loving thoughts. it's so easy to see when you think about it being someone's face. But what if that thinking and feeling and attitudes were doing that to your entire body? What if your thinking and feeling and attitudes were affecting your neck? What if they were affecting your back? What if those thoughts and feelings were affecting your knees and your heart and your digestive system and your weight and your overall health? All of you. They are. We just don't see that clear connection because we can't see it like you can see this permanent scowl on someone's face. That is what they mean by the mind-body connection. I heard Deepak Chopra talking recently, and he said there is no such thing as the mind-body connection. It's all one. It's not a connection. Your consciousness permeates everything. Your consciousness permeates every single cell in your body. Your consciousness permeates your relationships and your place of work. Not does it just permeate it, but it goes before you into everything that you do. You take that consciousness with you, and it affects everything. So here's the thing. The more that our thoughts and our feelings are aligned with that divine nature, the more our thoughts and our feelings are aligned with love and with peace, the greater our health and well-being will be. Our health, our physical well-being, as well as our emotional well-being. And so I'm going to talk about three attitudes that we tend to carry with us that do not support health and well-being, but instead create dis-ease in our bodies as well as dis-ease in our lives. The first one is, anything that is unlike love. Any thoughts and feelings that we carry that are unlike love create dis-ease in our lives. That means things like feeling guilt, thinking that we are somehow bad and wrong and defective and that there's something wrong with us and we're somehow not enough. Those are not thoughts of love. Feeling that we are not lovable and that we're not worthy. Feeling those feelings and thinking those thoughts cuts us off from God. God's nature is love and peace and wholeness and beauty and magnificence. And when we are thinking we are other than that, we are cutting ourselves off from that experience and cutting ourselves off from that flow. The second thing that creates dis-ease in our lives and in our bodies is non-forgiveness. Our unwillingness to forgive and to let go of resentment, and to let go of anger, and to let go of hurt. Because again, we are removing ourselves from that which is godlike. And the third one is fear. Feeling fear and thinking that we are not safe, that we're not going to be okay, that things aren't going to be okay when we are not trusting the process of life. When we are not trusting God, when we are not trusting that love intelligence of the universe that is always right where we are, all around us and within us, when we're not in trust, but instead we are in fear, we are removing ourselves from that presence. And so all three of those things, guilt and non-forgiveness and fear, cause that stress response, right? And they all remove us from that experience of oneness with Spirit. They remove us from experiencing the nature of God as our own very spiritual essence, the very essence of who we are. We are removing ourselves from omnipresent good when we are in fear and unforgiveness and whatever is unlike love. When we are God-like in our thinking, then we create an avenue for health and well-being. We create an avenue for ease in our body and ease in our affairs. In John 1:4-16, it says that God is love. And whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. When we are in love towards ourselves and towards others, then we are living in God and God can live in us. And so that first one, love, means when we treat ourselves and others with love, then we are in alignment with the divine. When we are kind and caring and compassionate towards others, but towards ourselves also. When we encourage ourselves instead of berating ourselves and giving ourselves a hard time and making ourselves wrong. We are in alignment with love when we let go of guilt and of shame. And instead we recognize that we all make mistakes. That's part of being a human being. And making mistakes is part of the way we learn. And it's part of the way we grow. We can just allow ourselves to know whatever mistakes we've made helped us grow and helped us learn so we can let ourselves off the hook. And so in this class, You Can Heal Your Life that we've been doing, one of the things that Louise Hay has been having us do through the entire 8-week class is to use the affirmation, I love and approve of myself. Not just once a day. She's encouraging us to do it 100 times a day. And so will you say that after me? I love and approve of myself. Let's say it again. I love and approve of myself. And one more time. I love and approve of myself. And not just have we been saying it, but we've also been saying it into a mirror, looking into our own eyes and saying, I love and approve of myself. Can you feel your body kind of relax when you do that? I love and approve of myself. Whew. When I first started this path, that book, You Can Heal Your Life, was the very first book I ever read. And I remember using that affirmation a lot and the relief that I felt from using that. Any time that I was comparing myself to someone and feeling like I somehow didn't measure up, I love and approve of myself. Anytime that I was feeling anxiety about doing something new that I'd never done before, and what if I didn't do it good enough? What if I didn't do it right? I love and approve of myself. Anytime that I had fear of not being enough, I love and approve of myself. It's amazing the shift that that creates inside of our bodies and inside of our thinking, and enables us to let go of the panic and the worry and the fear and the measuring ourselves against other people. And so the second avenue that we can use to create health and well-being is a willingness to forgive ourselves and to forgive other people. That means to just let go of the past. And like I said, to know that whatever happened in the past, actually, in the big picture of your life, was for good. As well as the other person, because there's always something to learn. There's always something to gain. There's always a way of stepping into your own greater beingness through those mistakes that happen. So you can embrace what it was that there was to learn and then move on. You know, in Genesis 50:20, it says, what man intended for evil, God intended for good. There's always the potential for good in every single mistake that we've made. Embrace what is for the good and use it, and then let go of the rest of it. And the third and last one is the way to create an avenue for health and well-being is trusting life, trusting God, trusting that infinite presence that is so much bigger than we are, that is the intelligence of this universe. To trust that we are led and that we are guided and that we are safe. To trust that God, love, is right at the center of our lives and the center of everything we're doing. To trust that we are never alone. And so Louise Hay in her book has a list of physical ailments. and their probable causes or possible thinking that created them, and as well as a new thought pattern. And so I'm going to share them with you, and I'm going to have you do the affirmation part with me. And so she says, the problem of aches, the probable cause for aches, is a longing for love and a longing to be held. And so the affirmation is, I love and approve of myself. Will you say that? I love and approve of myself. I am loving and lovable. I am loving and lovable. The probable cause of addictions is running from the self, fear, not knowing how to love yourself. The affirmation is, I now discover how wonderful I am. I now discover how wonderful I am. I choose to love and enjoy myself. I choose to love and enjoy myself. The probable cause for anxiety is not trusting the flow and the process of life. The affirmation is, I love and approve of myself, and I trust the process of life. I love and approve of myself, and I trust the process of life. I am safe. Back problems, anyone? Represents the support of life. I know that life always supports me. And the last one is high blood pressure. Probable cause, long-standing emotional problem not solved. Affirmation, I joyously release the past. I am at peace. Can you feel your body right now? Is it vibrating differently than it was before we started that? The thing is, using those affirmations doesn't only change our conscious thinking. It doesn't just change our conscious thought. It changes our emotions. It changes our feelings. It changes our energy. It changes our vibration. As we continue to use them, it changes our subconscious thinking so that we are carrying that with us all the time. They create the relaxation response. And they open us to the good, the infinite good of God that is right where we are. We use those affirmations and we align ourselves with the good, which is heaven that we chose at the beginning of the service. I'm choosing heaven today by being kind and loving to myself. I'm choosing heaven today by forgiving myself and others, by acting and being in the energy of love, by trusting God. I'm choosing heaven in my life. And so my invitation to you this week is to love yourself and others. My invitation to you is to release any long-standing resentment that you've been carrying with you, to let go of long-standing anger and unforgiveness so that you can be free. It frees you. Then you can be free and open and in alignment with the harmony of the universe. Be willing to let go of the past. Be willing to let go of your stubbornness. Be willing to let go of your inflexibility. Trust life and trust God. Trust that love of the universe. Trust that intelligence that it exists inside of everything and that exists inside of you. And so I'm going to actually close with something that Ernest Holmes says in Living the Science of Mind. He says, the belief that we do not have the ability to heal arises out of the mistaken idea that our power does the healing or that the intellect does the healing. All that the will and the intellect could do is to behold or watch the process. He goes on to say, there is but one healer. This is the spirit of truth. There is but one life principle. That is God in us. There is but one final law. This is the law of good. There is but one ultimate impulsion. That is the impulsion of love. And so blessings to all of you on this path of awakening and of giving way to your own spirit and to that divine presence within you that is seeking nothing other than to unfold itself in its fullness in you and through you. So blessings to all of you. And so I invite you all to join me in an affirmative prayer. And so I take my attention, all of my attention, and I turn it from this world of effect. Instead, I turn my attention to the realm of the infinite. I turn my attention to that presence of God, that presence of spirit, the divine, life itself, the one and only, that whose center is everywhere and whose circumference is nowhere. Recognizing that I live and move and have my beingness in this presence, and that that presence surrounds me and envelops me and lives itself out through me, that it does that through every single one of us, that we each and every one of us live and move and have our beingness in this one presence. And that it, right now, is living and moving and having its beingness through each one of us, through our thinking and through our loving and through our willingness and through our open hands and our open hearts and our open minds. And so today, I know that that presence also is guiding every single one of us, that is guiding us on this path of life, that it is guiding us into paths of beauty and paths of love and ease in our relationships, paths of peace in our homes and in our places of work, paths of peace as we drive in our cars, that contained within this presence is anything and everything that we could possibly need. And so I know that we are each receiving a blessing today, for that one infinite presence is pouring itself out as a blessing that we could not possibly contain. And so today we are open and we are receptive. And I say thank you, God, for all of this. And so it is. And I actually have one more announcement for all of you, that Chris and Erica, who had the new baby 3 weeks ago, he died this week. He had genetic issues, and they knew that it was a possibility. They knew that he might not even be born alive. And so I would actually like to do another prayer and have you join me for them and for baby Charlie. And so I recognize right now that there is only God, and that God fills every single moment and fills every single space, and that right now that presence is wrapping itself around Chris and Erica as a presence of love and as a presence of well-being and as a presence of peace and comfort. I recognize and know also that even though Charlie has passed from this physical world, that he lives within them and that they are connected to him forever through this bond of love and care and open-heartedness and joy. And I know that Charlie right now is just awash in that light of the divine, that he is at peace and in comfort, and that he is so filled with that light of the divine, that his light is so bright, there is no distinction, and there is no otherness, and that all is well with his soul and his spirit right now, that he is absolutely in God's care and keeping. And I speak this word just for that entire family, knowing peace, knowing that hands reach out and that arms embrace, and that healing is happening even in the midst of what feels like grief, and that truly all is well with them and all is well with Charlie. And for that, I give thanks. For my recognition of God, I give thanks. For my knowing that this is the truth, I give thanks. And I release this prayer, and I let it be, and I say, and so it is.